you guys got your Bibles, let's jam on over to chapter 25 of Matthew. We're moseying through Matthew, Matthew 25. And let's just pray and we'll get into the Word. Lord, we just love you and we just ask that you would bless this time in your scriptures and open up our heart and our eyes and that we get our heads straight on you, Lord. And just put all this stuff aside from the week aside and that we see you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you guys watch the news in here, like, on a regular basis? And don't be ashamed. It's okay. There's no judgment here. Nobody. That's interesting. Tom, you do? You're always into it. How many watch the news? Randall, you're going to have to set that clock for me, my man, or I'm never going to stop. How many of you guys watch the news on a sometimes regular basis, like every now and again? Oh, really? Christine, that's interesting. Okay. How many of you guys never watch the news? That's incredible. You guys are the blessed ones. Wow. Are you in that group, Kat? You never watch the news?
I watch it on
the server. Listen to it on the server. Okay. Podcast, but you're not like... Okay.
Joe Rogan,
that's right. You kids these days. One of the things about, and it's true, like, if anything you want to know, just go to Joe Rogan, of course. He kind of got me hooked on a flat earth thing, but we'll talk about that later. Anyways, the news, if you watch the news, it can kind of make you feel nasty when you walk away from it because there's so much garbage going on out there. It's kind of like I kind of compare it to Chinese food at a gas station. You know, if you're filling up and you go and get some lo mein while you're filling up and you eat that, you just kind of feel like garbage. And because there's a lot of things going on in our world and it looks like there's, you know, it's just we're in a mess. The world, if you guys haven't noticed, is like a big old dumpster fire. And the thought of it is, you know, is if we're not careful, we'll get this idea that, like, who's in charge? Is God in control? Is he in charge? And there's a thought out there, I guess you could say, that's called open theism. And open theism is basically like, you know, there is a God, but he's not really in charge. Like, he gave us his word to do, figure things out here on earth, and he's not coming back until we figure it out. And he doesn't know when that time is. He's just kind of leaving it up to us to get it right. And whatever happens, happens. But the thing of it is when we're getting into chapter 25, you guys, we're seeing that God knows exactly what's going on. He is in total control. He obviously knows the end from the beginning. And, he knows exactly what's happening on a time basis of his choice. And on Wednesday night, we talked about birth pains, the beginning of birth pains. And that Jesus laid out all these things that were going to happen before the end of the age, before, like, everything just is over. And we went through some of those birth pains and checked it out. But it's important that we understand that God's not in heaven, like, pacing back and forth, rubbing his forehead. Like, what am I, oh my me, what am I going to do? What's happening down there? These guys are going crazy. He's got it under control. In fact, he talks a lot about it in detail, the end of the age and, like, a lot of the details about it. When we're looking at the news, some things that you probably heard is, like, Iran and Jerusalem. Iran's not a fan of Jerusalem. They're looking to wipe them off the map with nuclear weapons. Russia and China teaming up on this Ukraine thing. And what's funny is that, you know, United States is like, well, hopefully China can bring in Russia and, like, chill them out a little bit. But China's helping Russia. And these are two big key players in the end of the age. And so there's a lot of things going on in the world. And so, you know, we got to ask the question, if it is, you know, in our generation, the end of the age, what are we going to do about it? What are some things that we can do about it if this is the end of the age? We could buy cases of chili and Pepto-Bismol and bunker up. Get some guns and, just kind of hide out for a little bit. You could do that until everything happens. But the Lord tells us to be watching and to be sober and to be ready for his coming. like a bride waiting for a groom. And so in chapter 25, verse 1, he starts out with this. He says, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. So in weddings, there is three sections, you guys. There is the engagement, and that was all done by the fathers. It's like two old fishing buddies are getting together. They love to fish and, you know, or bowling buddies. And they're like, man, how can we hang out together forever? I know. How about my kid marries yours? And then, you know, the wives aren't going to get upset every time we're out bowling and hanging out. It's just going to be a normal family day because our kids are going to be married. You know, and so they would make these agreements like that. And then there was the betrothal, which there was marriage, but it was like there was commitments made, but the wedding wasn't consummated. And then marriage happened about a year later when the bridegroom got his house in order as a young man. And that's a good advice, huh, for young guys that want to get married. How about get out of the mom's basement, right? Put down the Nintendo. It's been a minute. I don't know what you guys are playing today. But, you know, get the Nintendo, get that Atari down, and get your junk together. And that's what they would do. And then they would get ready to meet the bride. Now, what's going on here when it says 10 virgins took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom, it's interesting because you got one man and like 10 women. And you're like, what's going on here? I'm getting Mormon vibes. This is kind of a trip. So what's happening is virgins here is not like women who are, you know, chaste. They don't go, it's not like these are women who are totally, you know, been pure their whole life and, you know, don't go out with men who cuss or chew. They don't do, right? They just don't, they don't hang out with those people. This is just another name for like bridesmaids, and there's 10 of them, and basically they're all kind of, the picture of it is they're all hanging out around the corner and they're waiting for the bridegroom to come into town because they don't know when, because there's this element of like surprise going on. And so they're when the bridegroom shows up, they all walk with them to where the bride is. So it's this big surprise party type thing. But nobody knows when the bridegroom is coming because, you know, it's a secret. So they got to be ready. And it says in verse 2, five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks and oil in their lamps. And as the bridegroom delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And then all the virgins rose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. So when they get together, there's this group of women. There's five wise and five foolish, and the five that are wise are thinking ahead because they have oil for their lamps. And you guys, when you're thinking about lamps, don't think about, like, you know, in Shrek, when they, well, actually, you know, when they, in the that show Shrek, when they go in after Shrek and they've got like ropes and cloth on an end of a stick that they dipped in, that's what they're talking about. This isn't the kind of lamp that your grandma had on the fridge in case the power went out. You know, those little lamps that you'd fill up with kerosene. These are like sticks with ropes and cloth at the end of it. And the five that are wise because they were prepared to meet the groom. They had a plan. They thought of everything ahead. Do you guys know of anybody that's like that? They're very thoughtful in their planning. Like, they think of everything before they do it. These people, now here's the deal. These people drive us crazy. But because you're going to go on a trip and they're like, man, you know, if they heard that there was a frog that got out of a lab in Idaho and you guys are going to go camp in Eastern Oregon, one frog, and it blinds you by looking at you, that person's going to bring goggles for that case. They're just going to think of everything. There's a frog out there, and you just don't know. And you're like, man, this is crazy, until you see that frog. And then you're like, give me them goggles. And that's what's happening here. They're wise because they're prepared. And they have oil for their lamps, and they're ready to meet the bridegroom. And these wise women take everything that they need. And they say, and the ones that didn't have anything said, hey, give us some of your oil. Like, we're running short here. And, you know, they all passed out. They're all crashed. And they said, give us some of your oil. And what did the wise ones say? Beat it. Go to stinking Circle K down there at Highway 20 and 101 and get your own, because we can't help you. We go down and get your own. And I started thinking about that. You know, we've got to ready ourselves to meet the Lord, to be ready for his return, you guys. I love you guys. I pray for you guys every day, but I can't ready you. I can't get you ready for the day of the Lord's return. And you guys can't get me ready. I'm going to have to take care of that myself. And that's the whole point here. It's that these other women are like, man, we need this. And they're like, I'm sorry, you should have hooked that up yourself before that day came. And it's important, you guys, you know, to just be ready and for the Lord, and just to have like our light lit, man, our hearts on fire, our love stoked up for the Lord for the day of his return. Because a lot of things are going on. We just kind of get beat down by everything, and we go through life, ho-hum. It's all the same thing, the same time, all the time. But you know what? You guys, don't let that stuff strip you of your joy. Get stoked about the Lord's return, because it could be today. It could be this week. It could be this year. And so in verse 10, everything kind of takes a serious turn, because it says, and while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came to those who were ready, and they went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And so Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's like, listen, while those other ones went down to Circle K, the bridegroom came, got the other ones, they went to the house to pick up the bride. Surprise, it's exciting. And so now they go to the house, and they're like, hey, let us in. We're here to party too. And they're like, the door's locked, and nobody's coming in. It's over for you, basically. And that's kind of harsh language. And Jesus is getting serious with these guys. It's kind of like, you know, you have serious conversations with people you love, right? You know, and I've heard it said, you know, a wife could be like to her husband that finds a new hobby. You know, and she's like, look at me in the eye. No more spending. No more spending on Harley stuff, just hypothetically speaking. No more spending on motorcycle helmets, gloves, chaps, jacket. No more. Do you got it? You understand? Are you tracking with me? We got to have a serious conversation. No more spending. And then, you know, as men, what we hear is, okay, I just got to tone it down a little bit, right? It doesn't mean I'm totally cut off, right? It's just kind of like I got to bring it down a notch. That's what we hear. But when we have those serious conversations and we're like, listen, are you tracking with me? There's nothing more serious about eternity. And the Lord's talking to his disciples. He's like, listen, like, check this out. You need to be aware. Wake up. Because there's going to come a time that if you're not ready to meet the bridegroom, there's going to be a shut door. And so the disciples, you know, they're getting the message loud and clear. And in verse 13, it says, watch therefore that you know neither the day nor the hour. And so the point of it is, when he's talking to them, he's like, watch. That's the point. Watch. Sometimes we can make scripture so complicated. What's it about? Watch. Be ready. Be on guard. And, you know, you can know all about eschatology. It can be your hobby. You can have it tattooed on your thigh, and, you know, just be about it. But if you're not ready to meet Jesus, all that knowledge, all that stuff doesn't mean a thing. And he's like, what does matter is that we're ready, to meet the Lord. And so Jesus has got these guys tracking with him. And now the question is, well, then, what's getting ready for the Lord's return look like? You guys ask good questions. And what Jesus is going to do, he's going to answer it in verse 14. He says, for it will be like a man on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another he gave 1, and to each according to his ability. And then he went away. So masters would go and they would give their finances to their slaves, and they would entrust their finances with them to invest more money, because one of the best things that you can do is let people handle your money and make some more money with it, right? And so the master would get his servants together. He's like, listen, I'm out of here. I'm going on a vacation. and I want you to take care of the house. I want you to pay the phone bill, check that mail, make sure you don't forget to feed the dogs, and like get everything together. And by the way, here's some talents, and I want you to take this money, and I want you to go and invest it while I'm gone. Now, talents, it doesn't mean like talents, like, you know, singing and stuff like that. Do you guys remember, what's it, America's Got Talent? And then before that, back in the day for us old timeies, it was Star Search, Ed McMahon. You guys remember Ed McMahon, Star Search? And Nolan's like, what is that? It was like the foundation, brother, of like everything we got today. Star Search was amazing. But it doesn't mean talent like that. It's actually a measure, a weight of goods, of gold. You know, what are some things, like a kilo, what are some things that we measure in kilos? What? Who said that, Evan? Who said gold? Hey, man, Nolan, you're the only one in here, because I know what Ed was thinking. I know, I was surprised. I thought Ed would have got that one before you, but man, I thought, gold. You guys are thinking something else. But it's a weight, it's a measurement. And it's a lot of money, it's about a year's worth of wages, you guys. So if somebody dumped on you, 1 year of wages, one talent is a lot of money. Two talents is a lot of money. Five talents is crazy. It's 5 years of wages. And he's like, here, I want you to take this money. This is what it's like. He's like, hello, tracking with me. This is what it's going to be like when I split and I come back. This is what I'm expecting. This is how you get ready. You're going to take what I give you, and you're going to get busy with it. And when I come back, I'm going to be asking you about this. And so in verse 16, it says, and he who received five talents went at once and traded with them and made five talents more. And so he who also had two talents made two talents more. Oh, but everything's going great. These guys, the first two servants, they're just like, man, they're investing in it. They're trading. I don't know if he went, you know, bought shorts on Tesla or long on Disney, but the guy's getting busy. He's trading. And he's making a lot of money, and the other guy's making a lot of money too, man, and it's going great. It's so, everybody's making money, and everybody likes to make money, right? Money's good. Don't ever think, I mean, it's not, money's a great thing to have. It's a blessing. Try living without it. You know, you live on that side for a while, and you're just going to find out how much, you know, we need that stuff. And these guys are just accumulating, and man, it's so good. And then you get to this one guy, but he's that guy. He's that guy. He's the butt guy. Here he is. He says, but in verse 18, he who received one talent went and he dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master and the servant came and settled accounts with them. And he who received the five talents came forward bringing five talents more, saying, master, you delivered to me five talents and here I give you five more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will put you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And then in verse 22, he says, also the one who had two talents came forward saying, master, you delivered to me two talents. Here, I've made two more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll set you over much. Enter in the joy of your master. So these guys are trading and they're getting busy. And the point of it all, when the master's coming, he's saying, hey, here's the deal. I've given you talents and I've set these things before you, and I'm asking for an account of everything that I gave you, because now it's payback time. You work for me. I gave you this. This is what I just expect you to do. If you manage a place, if you've got employees, if you say, hey, here's the task. Go out and do it. Don't call me 5 minutes later. Just, I want you to do this. And so he gives it to them, and they go out. And the whole point of it was, is that the big idea of it is that we are responsible, you guys. All of us. We are responsible to be faithful with what God gives us to expand the kingdom of God. And you know, and that does have to do with money. You know, that's the word nobody likes to talk about in church. I find it funny, you know, we always forget our wallets at home on Sunday. And that's cool, I get it. But you know what? There's going to be a time where it's like, listen, what we have is the Lord's. And what we do with it, a portion of it anyway, should be like, okay, well, what are we going to do? And the Lord says, look, he wants us to further the kingdom with that. You know, I was here on a Thursday night. We were putting together all the furniture back there and stuff. And I was thinking about our church, you know, and how faithful God's been. Because when we started out, you guys, we started out in a garage. Oil on the floor, no heat. It was rough. We had little old ladies coming into service in blankets because we couldn't afford the heat. And then when we would turn on the heat, we had these big roll-up doors, and all that heat would just go right out the doors, and we had like $400 a month payments and heat, and we're like, man, I don't know how we're going to make this, and it was rough. You know, and Tammy and Scott have been there really from the beginning, and they've seen and how we've gone through struggles here and there, but I can tell you this, and I was thinking about this when I was sitting in the back in that chair, and I was looking at our church and what this is going to be like when it's all done, inside and out, everything. We got a lot of work to do, but rest assured, it will be done. And I was sitting here and I was looking at this place and I was like, look what you've done, Lord. From such small faithfulness, look what you've done. And like if you were to look, I mean, just not just money, but the people getting together and helping and getting their hands dirty and serving when it's tired. When you worked all week and then you come in here and you work more. And by the way, the pay is not good when you're working here. It ain't that kind of job. And I was just like, man, Lord, we're just doing the best that we can with what we got. And one thing that we've never done, I'll tell you this, just so you know, like our philosophy with money here, we spend it quick. It comes in and it goes out. You know, some churches are like, well, we got to have a big old nest egg. Not this one. It's like sometimes it can get sketchy. But I'm always thinking about this verse right here. What are we going to do? Hang on to it? Hoard it for what? Is the Lord not going to keep providing as he's provided? Then push it. Hit the send button. Get busy. And watch what God does. And that happens with our faithfulness too, you know, at home. And how we do things. And so I was thinking about talents, you know, besides money, which it does take money. I mean, you know, a pastor once said one time, he said, if the church depended upon your giving, how would we be doing? That's a rough one. But besides the money aspect of it all, and we're talking about it because we're here in Scripture. You guys know I didn't pick this out for you on Sunday. I was like, man, we get these guys with this one. This is Jesus. Take it up with him. But besides that, you know, there's a talent issue. And so in verse 24, he also who had received one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow and gathering where you'd had no seed. And so I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Hey, but here, take what you gave me. Here's your talent. You gave me one. I'm going to go pull it out of the coffee can, and here you go. You got it right back. But in verse 26, this guy finds out that's not what the master had in mind, because he says, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew I reaped where I don't sow and gather where I scattered no seed. And then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I could have received my own with some interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For the one who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has, will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. You know, and to be honest with you guys, I feel for this guy. I feel for servant with number one talent. Because he's afraid. He's scared. And whenever you got somebody else's money, at your disposal, it's scary. You know, we designed the sanctuary here. And I'm telling you what, man, I was sleepless nights, and we're still not totally done and everything else, but you guys remember what it looked like before we got in here, right? And man, I was freaking out having sleepless nights, and then I had to start pulling making some big decisions on how we're going to spend our money, and then we're writing checks, and that bank account's just going blink, 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 and you don't know how it's going to turn out, because it's like your home. It's like, man, it's a mess, and you're going to remodel it, and it's all chaotic, and you're just like, this is, and here's the problem. It's costing a ton of money to jack your house up and to make it look terrible. And then you're like, oh, Lord, don't fail me now. You should have seen this place. And we're just like, man, this is crazy. And then, you know, I was talking to Vicky, and she's like, man, why are you all uptight? And I'm like, because I'm spending everybody's money. And I don't know how this is going to turn out. And, you know, thank God he was kind to me. He's kind. And he's made it work out. But I feel for this guy. He's scared. And a person that has responsibilities are going to be scared. Dads, husbands, wives, you're going to be scared. You've got responsibility. It's normal. But you can't be hamstrung by it, because it's going to ruin your life. Living in fear your whole life, you're going to be hamstrung. And at some point, you're going to have to pull the trigger and hit send and just say, okay, I'm going for it. And you know what? We're scared. There's a lot of, so like, just not money-wise, but talents. You know, maybe you can actually sing good. And, you know, not that you think you can, you know, because some people are like, yeah, I could get up, you know, I'm a good singer. Well, let's just say you actually are, and like someone besides mom told you. And you're like, man, you can do worship. Right here. But you're like, no, I don't want to get up in front of people. I get up in front of people, and it's just weird, because they're just staring at me like I owe money. I just can't do it. You know, some people have a real gift with kids, you guys. Man, you know how many kids we got down there? Tons. This place, we got to get downstairs remodeled. Fast. It's getting crazy down there. It's like rabbits. They're just everywhere. It's like herding cats, you know, going everywhere. We got to get it done down there, you guys. But maybe, you know what, kids love you. You know, you're not the type of person, you see a kid and you're like, hey baby, how you doing? And they're like crying, they're running like as fast as they can for the exit, going out in the middle of the street, and their mom's like, wait, don't get hit by a car. They're like, out of here. But they love you. They're like, yeah, man, I can trust this guy. He's got tattoos, he looks legit, right? But maybe you got a heart for kids. Guess what? We need Sunday school teachers. You know, maybe you're a teacher. God's given you the gift to teach. And instead of teaching, you just sit there. Because, you know, you don't want to be up front. You know, you can break down complex truths to where we can get it. You know, because the Bible, you can ask Evan. He's written a book. He's very educated, smart, this guy. But he'll tell you, you got to be able to break down complex things simply. And maybe that's you. You know, and the whole point of it is just to kind of step out what God's given us instead of burying it. So let's just close right here. We'll pick this up on Wednesday. But, you know, as we're closing out, I was thinking about, you know, some things that this year might bring to us, because this is going to be a gnarly year, you guys. Mark my words. Go ahead and put it in her Bible, that I'm telling you, 2024, the end of this, it's going to get gnarly. This is an election year, and if you think 2020 was rough, and I'm not talking nothing, I'm not going to give you no political view here, but if you think 2020 was rough, 2024 is like, hold my Dr. Pepper, you know what I'm saying? Because we're Christian. It's going to get rough, you guys, and you need to get your helmet on. And I was thinking about, you know, getting ready. How do we get ready? Well, put your faith in the Lord, you guys. In the death and resurrection of Jesus, and get stoked about who he is. Because that puts things in context of what's going on around us. It's not out of control. This isn't some God that wound up a clock and split, and he's just like, yeah, you know, I'm going to let them figure it out. He's very much in control. He very much knows. And he knows so much that he says, listen, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to put certain things about you, in you, to contribute to the whole of the kingdom's expansion on earth. And, you know, so we want to get stoked about it. We want to live in excitement for the Lord's return. Think about this, you guys. And I know, you know, you had a busy work week and all this, and this isn't something you typically think about every day, but just I want you to think about this for a minute. It could be this day. It could be this year. You know, when we went over the birth pains on all the chronological things that need to take place, they've been taking place. So, if it wasn't for the love of God and his patience that leads us to repentance, we ain't got nothing. We're just holding on that. So get stoked about it. And last, you know what? Use what the Lord's given you guys to make a difference. I'm not saying empty. I don't care if you guys, you know, I don't know anything about your guys' offering or anything like that. I don't care anything about it. That's up to you, honestly. But think about, Maybe taking a step of faith and contributing financially. That's not a big thing. But Jason, what if I can't afford cigarettes and Starbucks? Well, I think you'll figure it out. You know, or what about time? Man, maybe you can handle a mop like nobody's business. Like people are doing reels about you on Insta, and it's just going, this they're killing it with that mop. You know what? I was wondering where you were at last night. Honest, I was like, I'm like, where is that person on Instagram that's so good? You can be used. Man, I thank God for Randy. That guy gets in here, Michelle and Randy get in here, and when you look at all these walls in here, and you're like, who did that texture? That's so incredible. Randy. Who painted the ceilings? Randy. Who painted the walls? Randy. Who helped on the floor? Randy. You know, and this guy, man, I'm getting worried. I've used him up. So some of you guys are going to have to step up because Randy's probably at his wit's end. But listen, I want to encourage you guys. Think about expanding the kingdom here and how to do it. Pray about it. Ask God, seek his face. Let's close in worship this morning and communion, you guys. We're going to close out in a worship song, and Thomas is going to pass out communion for us. Would you guys stand with me as we take communion this morning and pray? Father, we love you, and we thank you for your word. And, you know, where we're at in Scripture, there we are in life. I truly believe it. And, Father, I do thank you for our church because I wholeheartedly do not believe that this church is filled with that first servant. And I am so thankful for that. I'm just so thankful, Father, that you've blessed us, Lord, with the ability to give and to keep pushing forward. And Lord, if we were as a church like that wicked servant, Lord, we could do nothing. But I just praise you, Lord, for everybody here today. Lord, and all their help and just all their prayers and, you know, everything they do for us, Lord, praying for us as a church and rolling up their sleeves or helping out, God, whatever. Lord, bless them. I just pray to bless them. Bless their families, Lord. Stoke them up to continue pouring out for you, Lord, that you just keep filling up. And we thank you for that, Lord. And bless our church, Lord. Give us vision. Give us, Lord, a fan. You know, maybe we fan into flame, God, this salvation and our faith and just get busy and push, Lord. This community needs Jesus. Lord, and let us be a light. Even if it's small, Lord, we can still shine bright in total darkness. And so we thank you for that, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the Son. We thank you for a sacrifice on the cross for our sins. We're going to take communion, Father, because of what the Son's done for us. And we get to remember it this morning. We get to enjoy it. The joy of our salvation, Lord, as we take communion, remembering what you've done for us, Lord, and all that you pour out for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We remember it. We don't take it in vain. And we honor you in it, Lord. We just praise you. Thank you for all your blessings, Lord. I pray as we go out this week that you watch over everybody, keep them healthy, keep them safe, Father. May you stoke up their marriages and their children and just bless them, Father, in their workplace and as they go out here and there, Lord, that you just take care of them all the way around, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.